Kellogg, November 10, 1899. Dear brother, my spirit is not at rest. I am troubled on your account. The letters I have written to you have seemed to have such an effect that I scarcely know how to approach you. You have requested me to tell you all. This I cannot do, for you are not in a fit condition, spiritually or physically, to hear it. I have been shown that you are in danger, in great peril, of becoming just what the enemy desires you to be, unbalanced in mind. It is not pleasant for me to speak of this by letter, but the Lord has used me to do this work, and I dare not keep silent. If I did, I should be as one who saw your danger and lifted not up his voice to warn you. Light has been given me that you have carried so-called medical missionary work altogether too far. For a long time, warnings and cautions have been sent to you. You have made this work not the arm, but the body. God has instructed me that the work you have set yourself to do is not the work He has given you to do. The Lord has presented some things to me which, if I feel free, I shall send to you. If this matter has an influence over you, similar to the influence of the letter sent to you at the time of the General Conference, it will be because you have set aside the warnings and have not heeded them, but have carried out your own plans and devising, irrespective of cautions and warnings. By one who has authority, the question was asked, "Who has required this at your hands?" Isaiah 1, verse 12. You do not see that you have become ambitious to carry forward a line of work which would result in great hindrance to the general work God would have you do. To you and those connected with you was given the work of making the Battle Creek Sanitarium a memorial of the truth to those in the highways of the world. Your power to devise, your ability to perform operations, were to be used in this line. Your standing among medical men God designed to be a witness for Him in higher circles. This work and the various lines it embraced was all you could carry. The work of embracing so much must be limited, else men will become unfitted to do truly their part of the work which God designs should be done. If you fail, it is because you would not heed the warnings God has been giving you. When you dipped so deeply into work in the slums, to lift up the most degraded, you were not gathering with Christ as you supposed. To you was given the special work of standing at your post of duty in the sanitarium as its manager, in connection with God's appointed agencies. But you took so many responsibilities upon yourself that it was as though one man's brain, and that your own, was brain for all the others. If your course was questioned, you did not receive the criticism offered, that plainly revealed that your judgment was not to be differed from, till finally no one dared to say, "Why do ye so?" Their silence has been registered in heaven as unfaithfulness. Many have viewed matters in the same light in which you have viewed them. In the past, I have not dared to hold my peace, and all I can do now is to enforce what I have already said to you. I know that you may class me with your enemies because I tell you the truth. This truth may conflict with your ideas, but nevertheless, it is the truth. The principles upon which you are working will not stand the test. The Lord does not call upon you to create interests which will not show the best results or accomplish the work that is to be done in proclaiming the last message of mercy to a deceived, perishing world. The Lord would not have any enterprise started which would not be for the healthfulness and solidity of the work which is to perfect a people to prepare the way of the Lord. The Lord has not led you to take upon yourself such large responsibilities. I was made to understand that all available resources had been drawn upon to sustain the many interests you have set in operation. This hinders the advancement of the work. When accomplished, the work you have started would not have the best results if carried forward in the way in which it is being carried. Had a portion of the means thus used been used in holding camp meetings, in lifting the banner of truth, in educating workers in regard to carrying on the work after the camp meetings, God would have been glorified. We are following the direction of God as to how the work shall be done. In every place where the standard of truth is lifted, the missionary work needing to be done is to be advanced. But medical missionary work is not to be made the body. I say to you, in the name of the Lord, you are carrying forward this line of work in a way that is retarding the all-round work that is to be done. Your students are not receiving an all-round education.
The minds of men and women must be disciplined in such a way that they can carry forward the work solidly. The work in all parts of the Lord's vineyard is to be built up. In every gathering of our people, there should be those who can plan and devise how to build up the work upon a sure foundation. The enemy has been working, and will continue to work to take advantage of circumstances. Thus, he tried to create an emotional experience. He has tried to bring about a condition of things which would lead men to belittle the ministers of the gospel and criticize their work. This has already been done. A wild spirit of speculation and adventure will hurt the very work which should be regarded as most sacred. The work done for outcasts may be so managed that it will not bear the very best aspect. Unless those rescued are taught that sin is the transgression of the law, unless they are educated to know what is truth, what will the work done for them amount to? It will be work done with very little result. What gave the leaders of the Reformation their power over erroneous theories? It was the truth of the Word of God. Human nature needs a strong, solid foundation upon which to stand. It is not superstition, but living faith in a living God that brings real results. Some of the work that has been done is represented as being like men rolling large stones up a hill with great effort. When nearly at the top of the hill, the stones rolled again to the bottom. The men only succeeded in taking a few to the top. In the work done for the degraded, what effort it has taken to reach them, what expense, and then to lead them to stand against appetite and base passions. Is this work to be permitted to swallow up all the workers and all the money needed to sustain the various branches of the cause of God? I answer, no. Camp meetings are to be held, not one mammoth camp meeting, but smaller camp meetings in different localities. After the camp meeting is over, let a house be hired for the accommodation of the workers, and let these workers go out among the people and ascertain who are willing to take their position on the Lord's side. One thing is certain. We have a work to do similar to the work done in the early history of the message. This work we are trying to carry forward in this country. But the Lord does not give us direction to erect buildings for the care of babies, although this is a good work. But it is not the work for the present time. Let the world do all it will in this line. Our time and means must be invested in a different line of work. We are to carry the last message of mercy to those in the churches who are hungering and praying for light. We see the work that must be done, and in every place we enter, we unite medical missionary work with the gospel ministry. We labor earnestly for the poor, the distressed, and the sick. If we find a poor widow struggling to support her family, we show our sympathy in a tangible way and help her to help herself. We seek to awaken the missionary spirit in our churches. We appeal to the members to show their religion by their works of sympathy. We are cautioned not to misunderstand the great part we have to act in these last days. God says to us, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sin." Isaiah 58, verse 1. The standard of truth is to be uplifted in every place. People are to be taught that sin is the transgression of the law. We have a message to bear to the churches. Christ declares, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Revelation 22, verse 13, 14, 16, 17. We are to give to the people the warnings contained in Revelation. But many workers are engaged in a line of work that is disqualifying them to preach the Word. The truth in regard to the Sabbath of the Lord is to be proclaimed. The seventh day is to be shown to be the seal of the living God. People are to be shown what they may expect from the papal power. The time has come when the Protestant churches are reaching out to grasp the hand of the power that has made void the law of God. more work is to be done in the W. Here is a special field that has scarcely been touched. In the 17th of Revelation is foretold the destruction of all the churches who corrupt themselves by idolatrous devotion to the service of the papacy, those who have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. John writes, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications." Verses 1-4. Thus is represented the papal power, which with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, by outside attraction and gorgeous display, deceives all nations, promising them, as did Satan our first parents, all good to those who receive its mark, and all harm to those who oppose its fallacies. The power which has the deepest inward corruption will make the greatest display, and will clothe itself with the most elaborate signs of power. The Bible plainly declares that this covers a corrupt and deceiving wickedness. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Verse 5. What is it that gives its kingdom to this power? Protestantism, a power which, while professing to have the temper and spirit of a lamb, and to be allied to heaven, speaks with the voice of a dragon. It is moved by a power from beneath. And after these things, John writes, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Revelation 18, verse 1-4. This is the message Satan would have silenced. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Verses 6-8. Shall this message be considered an inferior matter? I am commissioned to speak to all those who are engaged as physicians in our institutions. A reformation is required in regard to the management of these institutions. They are not to be conducted as the world would conduct them. While many who cannot afford to pay are treated free, others are charged exorbitant sums for operations which take but little time. The charges of worldly physicians in this country are not to rule in our institutions. High prices are current in the world, but correct principles are to be brought into our work. The Bible standard is to be followed to the letter, irrespective of consequences. The way of the Lord, justice, mercy, and truth is to be followed. No exorbitant bills are to be sent in for slight operations. The charges made are to be proportionate to the work done. The work done in our medical institutions is to correspond with the words, medical missionary work. We do not want the Lord to think ill of us because we misrepresent the work of Christ. God has not given us permission to do a work which will not bear the investigation of the judgment. He does not want any institution established by his people to bear a reputation similar to that borne by Ananias in Sapphira. Desiring to gain a reputation for self-sacrifice, liberality, and devotion to the Christian faith, Ananias and Sapphira sold their property and laid part of the proceeds at the feet of the apostles, pretending that they had laid it all there. They thought that they had been successful in cheating the cause of God, but they were cheating the Lord, and He dealt summarily with this, the first case of deception and falsehood in the newly formed church. Ananias and Sapphira were not urged to give all they had to the cause. God would have accepted part, but they desired it to be thought that they had given all. Thus, they thought to gain the reputation for which they hankered, and at the same time, keep back part of their money. God slew them both, as a warning to all of the danger of sacrificing truth to gain favor. We are not to misrepresent what we profess to believe in order to gain favor. God despises misrepresentation and prevarication. He will not tolerate the man who says and does not. The best and noblest work is done by fair, honest dealing. A lawyer came to Christ with the question, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" "How readest thou?" Christ asked. The lawyer answered, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." "Thou hast answered right," Christ said. "This do, and thou shalt live." Luke 10, verse 25 to 28. Upon these two great arms hang all the law and the prophets.